Thank you very much. That's real lovely singing, and you're into it, and that means so much too. It's real joy having you here this morning, and we trust the Lord will bless you and grant you every encouragement for coming along. Please do be much in prayer regarding the meeting this evening. I know your hearts are exercised regarding this particular meeting. Maybe someone you've never yet come to the Lord Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Let us pray this may be the very morning when the hearts will open to the Son of God's love. We want them to know with us the joy and the peace and the power and the purity the presence of the Lord Jesus alone can bring. So, now these mornings and evenings we've been looking at the question, who is a Christian? And we found a Christian is one who belongs to Christ, who witnesses for Christ, and who suffers with Christ. We know that a Christian is a child of God. A Christian is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. We notice the Christian's world has been redeemed and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you looked at Friday night and seen the Christian as an influence. The Christian as an influence. And we'll be giving the crossing all these wonderful names and titles. And this morning we want to go to the soldier. The Christian as a soldier. Now this is not a toy soldier, a tin soldier, nor a chocolate soldier. A Christian is a real soldier, a real man, a real woman, saved by God's matchless grace and cleansed by the precious blood of our adorable Lord Jesus. So please open your Bibles for you at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy and the second chapter, please. The Christian as a soldier. I want you to please read with me verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruit. Now notice verse number 1, he is a son. Verse number 3, he is a soldier. Verse number 5, he is an athlete. In verse number 6, he is a husband. And then I like this point, consider. Then verse number 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now notice, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now notice, it is a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And there we got the theme of the example. The son, the soldier, the athlete, the husbandman, and then the example. And right in the very center of verses 7 and 8, consider and remember Jesus Christ. With the Christian as a soldier. Now, the first word I want to give you, the soldier is selected. He is a select man, woman. I want to get that this morning. All men and women are not in God's army. Oh no. just all men and all women are not in God's family. Remember, first of all, he is a son, then he becomes a soldier. Now, that's very important for us to recognize that. You see, the Christian is one who is a son of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And because we are sons, then we become soldiers of Jesus Christ. What an honor, what a privilege to be in his wonderful army. Are you there? We sometimes sing, you know, I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you one of his soldiers? If not, I pray this is going to be the very morning when you recognize something of the value and the dignity and the honor and the glorious privilege of what it means to be in the army of our beloved Lord Jesus. So we are selected. We are sons, and then remember we're redeemed by the precious blood, just as in Isaiah chapter 35, it speaks there about the king's highway. And those that are walking along the king's highway, they are soldiers, but they are select soldiers. Who are they? Redeemed. The redeemed shall walk there. And there are clean people who are walking along the king's highway. And they remember, no unclean shall walk thereon. So now, thank God this morning, we're redeemed by the blood, we're cleansed by the efficacy, the value of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, are you one of his soldiers? If you are, we're going to look at a few more points. We break the word up to the initial letters. The next thing I find about the soldier is this, he becomes obedient. He is obedient. Now, notice, will you please, two verses of Scripture, Romans chapter 6. We're going to use our Bibles this morning. That's one thing that keeps you awake in such a dull morning. Romans chapter 6, please, and reading verse number 16. This is one of the great classical chapters in the New Testament touching our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I never tire of it. Now, verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form or mold of doctrine which was delivered you. So the first thought I want to give you, a soldier is not only select, but he is obedient. And a soldier must obey orders. Isn't that true? In other cases, I don't like my captain, I don't like my general, I go and start another little army of my own. Oh no. When we're in the Lord's army, we must be submissive and obedient to the best of all Lord and Master. The best general the world has ever known or ever will know is our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. He's referred in Hebrews as the captain of our salvation. But now we must obey orders. We sometimes sing, you remember, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. If the obedient child is a happy child, if the child is disobedient and out of favor, is far from happy. So it is in the things of the Lord Jesus. When we are obedient to his revealed will and submissive to the word of God, then we are obedient children. We're walking the ways which are well-pleasing to himself. The word obedient is a wonderful word, you know. Go back with me, will you? This time to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel and the 15th chapter. And verse number 15. 2 Samuel 15, verse 15. The king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Notice the words, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king has of appoint. And also in another scripture in Samuel it says, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience, my friend, to God's revealed will, to his revealed word, oh, what joy this brings into your life and into my life. Remember in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, when the sheep came down from heaven in Acts chapter 10, how the Lord said to Peter, rise and eat. And remember what he said, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Now that is a contradiction in terms. We dare not say not so and Lord in the same breath. Remember, if he is Lord, it is yes, Lord, whatever he may say to us. And there must be prompt obedience to his revealed will and to his distinct commands. I wonder, as soldiers this morning, are we obedient to what is revealed to us in his holy word? Now, remember the word of God says very clearly, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now this is a distinct commandment. We hear a lot about baptism, correctly so. And baptism is definitely a commandment, and we should obey that commandment too. As chapter 6 of Romans brings out so very clearly, and we should be obedient to this wonderful ordinance of baptism. I think of the words in Psalm 119 where it says, I thought in my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed is a man that shall do his commandments. Matthew chapter 28 says, in the very last verse, I quote the 19th verse also, Christ is standing resurrection power and is saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, disciple the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And notice that little personal pronoun, I have a commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way, even to the consummation of the age. So there you have a distinct command. In Acts chapter 10 again, remember, Peter says, in the name of the Lord I command you to be baptized. So then, my friend, is the truth regarding baptism as a command. Then furthermore, regarding the Lord's Supper. What a beautiful order this is, and what a wonderful ordinance, isn't it? The loving request of our adorable Lord Jesus when he said, this do in remembrance of me. What a wonderful, wonderful ordinance. We thank God for the wonderful privilege we had this morning in that very sweet, blessed, fragrant gathering as we gathered around the Lord Jesus and we sought to break the bread, a picture of the body given, and partake of the wine, the blood outpoured, for an honor, for the privilege. And you know, all my heart was saying, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. And remember, we do this in view of the coming again of our adorable Lord Jesus. It may be just be wishful thinking on my part, but I would love the Lord to come when we're gathered, just when we're gathered this morning. There we are gathered, fulfilling his last loving request, this do in remembrance of me. And wouldn't it be wonderful in the very act to hear him say, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away far above the clouds. Oh, we can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door, and our souls of longing to be with him evermore. And so he says, now, a new command I give unto you, that you love one another. There's another one in the very same chapter, Romans 6, you know what it says? Yield your members a distinct commandment. Romans 12:1, a distinct command. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, another command, come out from among them. Now that does not mean to come out from other Christians. Oh no. This is something positive, something very much alive. Oh no. I want to get that, my friend. We're exhorted to come out from evil principles. We're not, there's not a verse to ask you to separate from another Christian. None whatever. I want God to get that across your heart and my heart. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. Isn't that just wonderful? So there it is now, a soldier must be obedient, able to look up and say, ready for anything. Isn't that lovely? Lord, I am ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall command. May God give us grace to be ever submissive and obedient to what he has said. But I like this one here in John 13, where it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples by your love one for another. Now, I like to see an army that's moving forward in harmonious relationship and all submissive and obedient to the distinct orders of their commander-in-chief. Isn't that wonderful? And the Lord of John, he himself, is just that. Go to the Father, shall we? Not only must we think of the soldier being select and the soldier being obedient, but before I leave it, Mr. George Goodman tells a very interesting story. And this had happened while he was a lawyer, back in London, England. Probably read some of the books by George Goodman and his brother, Monty Goodman, two very well-known men and outstanding Bible teachers. I never forget George Mueller and George Goodman, at Keswick Convention before 5,000 people. He stood there with one hand in his pocket without any notes whatever, and he gave some of the most wonderful exposition I've ever heard, or anyone else has ever heard, by the way, because it came out in the various magazines, Bible teaching at its highest in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And he just stood there and he's talking to a great big Bible class. And his heart just overflowed. Oh, he knew the Lord. The Lord was precious to that dear man. And it's all the instance I would refer to right now at that particular convention. A young lady, before she's 2.5 years of age, had acquired a desire for strong drink. Her daddy, when he was late with her, to try and keep her quiet, used to put a little cube of loaf sugar into whiskey and let her suck it. And before she's 2.5, she'd acquire the desire for strong drink. She grew up with that desire. She went onto the world, and before she'd been very long in her teens, she was on the street. A Salvation Army girl, thank God for the Salvation Army. And all are doing a similar work. A Salvation Army officer, immaculate in her dress and in her appearance, saw the girl one day, drew near to her, an entire stranger, threw her arms around the young girl and said to her, my dear, I love you because Jesus loves you. It struck a chord in the girl's heart. Salvation Army officer took her home to the hospital. There she was cleaned up, cared for. All the time she thought there must be some gimmick in this, something she wants out of me doing all this for me. She did not realize the girl was doing it all for the sake of the Lord Jesus and all those other officers working along with her. The one day, after 2 or 3 years, that girl was gloriously saved. She was completely transformed. Her whole life was transformed by the transforming grace of the Lord Jesus. She went through college. She became an officer in the Salvation Army. One day she walked into the office of George Goodman for some legal advice. He said she was immaculate. She was lit up with a radiance that came from within, a wonderful glow about her countenance. Her eyes just simply sparkled, were full of light. There was a gleam about that girl's smile. And after all the legal transactions had taken place, he said to her, now before you go, I want you to tell me something about yourself. I know a great deal about your background. I know how you were brought up. I know the life you're living. And now with all the passions and all the desires surging in your young life as a young teenager, longing for satisfaction with these desires, how is it now you're living such a victorious, clean life? And George Goodman looked over that great crown and said, I'll never forget your answer. Sir, prompt obedience. Prompt obedience. She said, as far as I know, from the moment I dedicated my whole life to Christ, the moment I was saved, I did that. I have never denied the Lord anything. is asked of me. The answer, prompt obedience. There it is, my friend. There's no other way to live that line well, pleasing to God. And as soldiers of Jesus Christ, there must be prompt obedience to what is revealed to us through His holy word. May God give us grace to be true soldiers in this particular sense of the word. Now go down to the next verse, shall we? Or the next letter, and the word is loyal. A soldier must not only be selected and obedient, but he must be loyal. I see what it says there in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and verse number 24. Now these are wonderful verses. I want you to take them down on your notes. Look at them, by the way, afterwards. See, I suggest something to you, though. I understand there are tapes being made of all the conferences' messages, and they've been a blessing to so many already. Some have asked for the tapes that are being made right now. But may I suggest this to you? Now, some of you can't get me when I'm talking as I'm talking now. But you get the tapes and you'll get it as clear as anything without any mispronunciation at all. You'll find it as clear as anything on the tape. I tell you, I know. I was in Victoria some time ago, British Columbia. The Lord was passing the place out night after night in Victoria Gospel Chapel. And there's a dear man called Monday, very, very lovely man, whose son is John Monday from Ecuador. He's a little bit dead. But he never missed a meeting. He felt his presence there was an influence to others. He couldn't always hear me, but he always wanted to be there. You see, because it was an influence to other people. But your tape recorder, some nurses who had been there the first week, said to Mr. Monday, will you take those messages down and tape? We want to have them. We're on duty next week, but we want to get those messages. And he said, you know, Jim, I go home, and for the next hour, I sit down and enjoy your ministry. I enjoy it. Why? Because I'm getting, and there's no background noise. I hear all just so clear as anything on the tape. So there's a suggestion, will you, my friend? I don't know what Mr. Willie charges for the tape, but I think you'll find them worthwhile. Matthew 6 and verse number 24. Verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, a soldier must be loyal. He must be loyal to his commander. He must be loyal to his lord and master. And beloved soul must leave as soldiers of Jesus Christ. You know, when the Americans, the Southern and the Northern, those Yankees came down here, they tried to invade the South, you know. And of course, the Southern people very correctly stood up and got to fight them back. I know it's a terrific battle at Rage, long before my day. But I remember reading about this. And there was one man, sorry, he was from the South. But you know, when the Southerns were winning, he was on their side. When the Northerns were winning, he was on their side. And of course, an armistice was signed. No one was really the winner. But what happened? Both sides were so ashamed of that man. The Southern put their trousers on him belonging to their uniform. The Northern put their jacket on them belonging to their uniform. The one shot him through the trousers. The other shot him through the jacket. It was no use to either side. It was disgrace to both sides. Are we a soldier? Are we trying to run with the hare and the hounds at the same time? Are we professing to be the Lord, yet my friend, our lives denying it? In practice, we're going utterly contrary to what a Lord and Master has for us. Spurgeon tells the story about the bat, the crow, and the sparrows had a terrible war. And the bat, when the sparrows were winning, he was on their side. When the crows were winning, he was on their side. And there was an armistice among the birds. And the bat is so downright ashamed of himself, he only comes out in the dark. He only comes out in the dark. Now let me ask you, it says right here, I'll read the verse again. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. Notice, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Go back to another Old Testament scripture. This time, 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, and verse 18. Chronicles, the first book, the 12th chapter, and verse 18. Now, these are wonderful verses, and I want you to see them for yourself. This is one of my most favorite chapters, by the way, in the Old Testament, the 12th chapter of the first book of Chronicles. Verse number 18. I'll read 17 for the connection. 1 Chronicles 12, verse number 17. And David went out to meet them, and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hand, the God of our fathers look upon thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side. Thine are we, David, and on thy side. Now, great David, greater son, is here this morning. He's looking into your heart, he's looking into my heart. And beloved is looking for loyalty. He's waiting for you, and he's waiting for me to say triumphantly, thine are we, Lord Jesus, and on thy side. Whatever the cost, we're going all the way. No compromising. Oh no. But Lord, you're my Lord, you're my master, you're the captain of my salvation, and Lord, I'm going all the way. Thine am I, Lord Jesus. Think of that verse again. Not so, Lord. If you profess you're the Lord Jesus, you're going to do something this morning that's going to really count. You take that little phrase, and we dare not say, not so, and Lord in the same breath. Either you're going to take your pencil or your pen, and you're going to score out not so, and leave Lord, or you're going to score out Lord, and leave not so. Now what is it? Thank you. I heard one another saying, not so. That means Lord, doesn't it? And from your heart with my heart is going to pray, reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything. And you'll find he'll never disappoint you. He'll never let you down. He'll never do you dirty. He'll never cause you to shed a needless tear. But ask you to carry an unnecessary burden. All the day trust in my friend with all your heart. It happened in Detroit some years ago. After the morning gathering, that is after the breaking of bread, a young teenager came to me and said, Uncle Jim, that's just a figure of speech. I mean, I talked with you. We went down to the basement of the chapel. That young girl began to burn her heart. So, you know, I thought I'd been a Christian. But through the ministry journey days, I found out I've never been a Christian. And I've yielded my whole life to Jesus Christ. She's a very beautiful girl, very attractive young girl, young high school girl. And I spoke to her about her good looks. Spoke to her about the temptation at high school with the opposite sex. Her whole heart just naturally unburdened. That last said, Uncle James, I want Christ to be Lord over every part of my body, my spirit, my mind. I want him Lord over all, blessed forever. That very same morning, a woman broke her heart after breaking bread, and she too found out she'd been breaking bread for years, and she had never been born again by the Spirit of God. And God, by his Holy Spirit, broke her brother right through for himself. 2 months after Mrs. Boswell and I were way down in the gas tank, down in Quebec, We're having meetings down there. Miss Jane, are you going to pile with mail? She said, well, let's go down to the beach. You've never been down there all the time you've been there. Well, you gather some shells, I go through my mail. We got down there, and I was sitting on the log, right near to the beach. Now, I was busy reading, when I felt somebody sitting down beside me. Now, I looked up. Who should it be but this very same girl? She and her mother down there, and other members of the family had come down there for a summer vacation. See, Uncle Jim, when I mentioned, made that decision there in Detroit, I meant it with all my heart. I looked and said, Sheila, you know, this is going to mean a lot. It means you're no longer your own. And the Lord calls you to some far off land, you are here to say, yes, Lord. He calls you some particular work here in the homeland, it's yes, Lord. And if you place you in some hospital bed, some to go with some particular illness, it's yes, Lord. Says, Uncle Jim, I don't care what it costs. He's the Lord of my life. As long as my money and the other members of family are saved and brought into the assembly, I'll go through anything. Her daddy had been killed by in a motor car accident just about 2 years before. What happened? The next day she was in the hospital in Moriah. Moriah's down there in Quebec. We went to see her, and that beautiful, charming young girl had been actually blown up, and the doctors couldn't find out what was the matter with her. And her throat had been paralyzed. So I bent over and I kissed that girl, and she looked up and said, Uncle Jim, in a very weak voice, it's still Lord. It's still Lord. They visited every day, and they couldn't find out what was wrong. They brought her back to Detroit to the Ford Hospital there. And I was having meetings at that particular time in Dearborn. And I rushed down one night to see her, and there she was lying there near the skeleton. 10 o'clock this particular night, I got a phone call, would I go down? And then we found her in the intensive care. She was unconscious. She was lying like a great big doll. And I knew I'd never see her again here. We went out to the mother waiting in another room, and we wouldn't allow the mother to see her. And the result was this. I told her the desire in Sheila's heart. And Sheila was willing to go through all that the mother might be saved, and the family might come to the Lord Jesus. The mother broke down, and she trusted Jesus Christ. Today, the mother and the whole family are in the assembly at Redford. May I pause here, beloved? It's all like tossing about, Lord, Lord. Lord, I surrender all, and you hold that part. I often think of the Lord took us as the sum of the sinner hymns we sing, and took us at word, like Ananias and Sapphira. When the professor given all to the Lord, or they held back part, then remember Peter says, why have you sinned against God? What is your lie to the Holy Ghost? What is your professor given you all while you're holding back part? Oh friend, no holding back. If you're a true soldier of Jesus Christ, and there's absolutely everything upon the altar for him, no reserve, no condition. John Borden, the Borden thing, that honored student from Yale University. When his father said, we want to come into the business, said, Dad, it's impossible. Well, I was there in the classroom at Yale. The Lord spoke to me, and I've given my life to him without any reserve. And Dad, I'm going all the way. So why don't you wait see here in this North American continent? Why do you work among the student bodies at various universities? Why must you go to Tibet? Dad, I've given my life without reserve. I have realized I am no longer my own. I am purchased by the blood of Christ. And I hear the voice saying, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. And Dad, if I hold back, I am robbing him. I must hand over the purchased goods to the rightful owner. Lord, Father, I've done that. I've done that. And Dad, I am going all the way. A senator from the House in Washington was asked for his impressions of the greatest impression ever made on his life as a senator. So one day I visited Yale, And I was taken to the mission in New Haven. And I saw there an honor student, a young man, heir to millions upon millions. I saw a young man down on his knees, with his arms around the bum, and the tears rolling down his face, leading that bum to Christ. A day that was the greatest impression ever made in my life. Who was the young man? Borden. He's on his way to the bed, as you know the story. He turned very ill on board. They called in at Malta, and he was dying. Mum and Dan and brother got there just in time, and they heard him saying, I gave my life without reserve. I gave my life without retreat. I've given my life without regret. And beloved, I look round this group here, none of you, my friend, I take to be under 40. Let me ask you lovingly, and I'm over 40 myself, your heart with my heart, let me ask you, have you surrendered it all to Him? Have you? Can you look up and say from your heart, Lord, you selected me, by thy immense grace you've chosen me to be a soldier, and I have no right to be warring around with things entangling and hindering me from a life well pleasing to thee. Lord, I come, and in prompt obedience to thy great desire for my life, and out of a heart of true loyalty for thee I'll call. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, and for thee alone. Yes, my friend, the call selected, the call obedience, and the call to true-hearted, wholehearted, one-hearted, a loyalty unto himself. Livingston from Vancouver. He and I were having lunch together with a doctor in Vancouver. National doctor going back to his surgery. Wick said to me, Jim, come let us talk together. We went to Stanley Park, and that young man in Burnley Park. Some of you know him as a missionary now in Peru. He was then the sales manager for British Columbia for the Heinz 57 variety. He'd been called to Ontario, to Toronto, to the head office, and they offered him the managership for the whole of Canada with that very fine company. He asked for 1 week to consider it. Flying home, a voice says in Wick, when you were in Northern Ireland, you promised you were going to South America, and you've never gone. He tried to shelve it, tried to evade the issue. He tried to quieten the voice, but it kept coming. You promised me, in that little gospel chapel in Northern Ireland, you're going to go to South America, and you've never gone. When he got home, his wife and the two children met him at the plane. They drove home, and jovial kind of a spirit, having daddy home, children were tucked in for the night. He sat down with the tea, his wife climbed onto his knees. Looking straight into his eyes, she said, Wick, I've always loved you. I love you with all my heart, more to the night problem than ever before. But while you've been in Toronto, God's been laying South America upon my heart. Pardon? You never discussed it. While you've been in Toronto, oh, I know you've got a wonderful promotion. I know you've got a wonderful slump on your salary. But God's been laying South America upon my heart, Wick. And he said these words. 3 of the elder brethren in 16th and McDonald Street in Vancouver, I know the assembly well, had gone to him, all the men now over 70 years of age, and had said to him, Wick, when I was a young man back in Scotland, Kilmarnock, God laid China upon my heart, and I promised him I was going to China, but Wick, I married a woman who didn't want to go to a foreign land. We've had children, I preached the gospel, I've given money to the missionaries, All these years I've had God's second best. I've had His permissive will, but not His revealed will. Young man, the Southern brother said, when I was a young man back in Ireland, God laid Africa upon my heart. I have promised to go, but I have never gone. All these years I got on in the world, I have prospered. My heart is all open for mysteries and for the Lord's service. I sought the ministry here in this country. But I want to tell you, wait, you're only a young man. But he said, God gave me his second best. God's best for me was Africa. The other man said to me, when I was down south of England, the young man, God laid India upon my heart. Now I promised the Lord I was going to go to India. But he says, I've never gone. And all these years I've had God's second best. And Wick turned to Ruby and said, Ruby, I don't want to have to say to some young man after I'm 70 years of age, when I was in Northern Ireland, God called me to South America, but I got wonderful promotions with my company. I made money, I made a name, I got possessions now. I preached the word. And I don't want to have to say I had God's second day. And those two young people bowed by the settee, a few rolling down the faces, and they commended themselves to the Lord Jesus, and they dedicated their lives afresh to Him. He wired Toronto, not only refusing the promotion, but relinquishing his job as sales manager for British Columbia. They couldn't understand the man. Two of the directors flew up, two had gone wrong. And they told them the story. And know what the two unbelievers said? Livingston, this is of God. This is of God. And was simply in direct went his valedictory service. And today, Wick and Ruby are in Peru. And God is using them mightily in Peru. I know I'm looking around this company this morning, this particular Lordsday morning, and there are men and women here, and you've had God's second day. God laid His hand upon your heart years ago, and you promised, and you have never done it. Is that true? Yes, I see you nodding. You know it's true. My friend, on the evening of your career, a few moments, days, a few moments, a few days, weeks, months, the very longest God's left to you, are you willing to come today and look up and say, from the very depths of your heart, take my love, O Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take my soul, and I will be ever only all for thee. The soldier is selected. The soldier is obedient. But the soldier must be loyal. There must not be two masters in your life, not in my life. It must be, yes, Lord. Hymn number, Wee Black Book, 328. And we'll go on from there with the soldier tonight, a very important message, the next three letters. Please be much in prayer, come back yourself in a spirit of expectancy. By the way, there may be someone here and you've never yet opened your heart to Lord Jesus. You've never yet opened your heart there. May I see some of you here? I was in Augusta, Georgia some time ago. Now for the family Bible hour just like this. I did in a field. I don't always do it. Sometimes I do. If anyone wants to trust Jesus Christ, would leave their seat and walk to the front while we're singing the closing hymn. Among those who came out that morning are five young men, all in uniform. One, a major in the American Army, a lot of ribbons and medals hanging here, and were crying. This major turned around and said to me, sir, it's taken more out of me to walk down that aisle and confess Christ than it did in the forefront of the battle in Korea. It challenges every part of your manhood to be a Christian. It challenges every part of your womanhood to be a Christian. The Christian life is not for old women and children. It is, by the way. But some of you think that's all it's for, weaklings. That's not true. I tell you frankly, it takes a man to stand up and say, Christ for me. It takes a woman, my friend, to stand up and say, whatever the cost, I'm going all the way with Christ.
sitting in the same pew. Same group that day was a young man, tear rolling down his face, also in soldier's uniform. Some of the workers approached him and asked the trouble. He said, I wanted to walk down there with the others, but he said, my knees buckled beneath me, and I couldn't go. But he said, I want to become a Christian. I am challenging you this morning, are you willing to go all the way with Jesus Christ? We're going to sing the last two verses of this lovely hymn. 328.